We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is now 9:23 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, and so grateful for Joseph Maudsley and James Percy to come in studio and be with us to talk about the show Potted Potter. Get over and check it out if you can. Now it's time for our very own lead theater critic, Rohan Preston at the Star Tribune, and he has a lot to talk about. How you doing, Ro?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You've got your article on the Star Tribune that talks about Minnesota's premiere of Actually, a play about rape on campus. And you say it's compelling. This article came out today, this evening, in fact. And tell us more about the piece.
So the playwright is a very serious issue for young people, especially women, occasionally men as well on campus, there's a lot of sexual assault in the country. It's also present at this place where people are experimenting with sex and alcohol and all of that mix. And so our playwright here, Anna Ziegler, has written this play only 2 years ago. She wrote it, actually, and it's a two-hander, two characters, essentially in a hearing and telling us about their interactions and their lives.
And these two characters, it's a man and a woman, correct?
Yes, it's a Jewish woman and a black man and young people they are, and it's set in Princeton in 2016.
Princeton, New Jersey, or Princeton University, or both?
Both.
Okay.
Princeton University. Amber is a student played by Miriam Schwartz, and Tom is played by Jacoby Johnson. Amber is a squash player who speaks multiple languages. Tom is a classical pianist who doesn't seem to know the words please and thank you.
That tells a lot about the characters, right?
It does.
You know, what's really interesting, you start out the article by saying every 98 seconds someone is sexually assaulted in this country, according to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. That's 321,500 annual victims of sexual assault. That tells you right there and then that this is something that has to be said, has to be something done about it, especially in the wake of the Me Too movement.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a crisis, it's undeclared, but it's a national emergency, and it's something that's getting more attention today, which is welcomed. This play is part of that as a conversation starter. Artists have always been at the forefront of these conversations and continue to be. And I think the ambitions of this play are such.
You know, in your article, you talk about how this is a 90-minute two-hander that gives us the two parties' backstories, including their sexual histories. Let's talk about that for a moment, because when it comes to universities and their responsibility in this, because really this is where we're seeing a lot of this abuse. It's an ever-changing question. What is the responsibility of the universities? Does it address that at all?
Right. Well, and it's not addressed in the play per se. I mean, what we get is sort of an institutional process.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of the people, basically. But the institutions, they come off as having a process and trying to stick to process and sometimes forgetting that we're dealing with people, you know, and people are vulnerable at a crucible moment in their lives.
Wow, incredible. Now, this is happening at the Minnesota Jewish Theater in Highland Park at the community center there at 1978 Ford Parkway in St. Paul. If you want tickets between $23 and $38, just call the box office at 651-647-4315. Or you can just go to info@mnjewishtheater.org. Now, I want to say this is directed by, isn't it Dr. Harry Waters, Jr.?
Professor.
Oh, Professor. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is his debut, huh? Directorial debut.
So that's, there's a big deal about that. The performances are beautiful as well in the show. So there's a lot to recommend it. It's very neat. It's a profound, necessary show, and I would definitely encourage people to go see it.
It's so weird to hear you call it neat, considering what the context of this piece is. But it is absolutely needed, that is for sure. Now, you got a chance. You're going to see Falsettos soon, right?
I am. It opens this week at the Ordway Center. It's a Lincoln Center theater production. And, part of this thing, people look at Falsettos and they're like, this is one of the shows that ushered in sort of a small chamber musical, moody chamber musical, and people look at Next to Normal and other shows like that. But this is sort of the leader in some ways, that segment of musical theater.
Can I just say that when I started seeing the commercials for Falsettos, I didn't get it at all. There were three people featured in the commercial, and I thought, what is this about? And then finally, I started seeing more people and more music and more blocking and how the set design might look. So I was really finally like, oh, it's like having an epiphany, and it hurt. My head was hurting. Have you seen it before?
I haven't. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
All right. I'm looking forward to your review of it.
Yeah. So and it's a one-weeker. So when we talk about it next Sunday, it'll be gone. So if people are interested, I would encourage them to see it.
Yep. Run down and see it. By the way, I want to let you know that actually is playing Tuesday and Sundays at 1 p.m., 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, and 8 p.m. on Saturday. And this is going through March 10th, so get your tickets. Thanks for joining us tonight, Rohan. You know I love it.
I totally do. Thank you so much.
All right, there he goes, our favorite film critic. I'm sorry, theater critic. Get it right, Jalen. We'll be back in a moment.
It's all right if you just wanna go home. It's all right if you just wanna be alone.
I love this song.
It's all right.
It's hard to believe that Big Head Todd and the Monsters have been making great music for, what, 35 years? They are about to kick off another tour later this week that includes a stop right here in the Twin Cities' newest music venues, one of the newest ones, the renovation of the Palace Theater in St. Paul. And this is happening on Friday night, the 22nd. And joining us is Jeremy Lawton, who plays keyboards, pedals, steel guitar, and sings in the band, which had a platinum smash album called Sister Sweetly in 1993. And it featured a backup singer right here in the great state of Minnesota on one of the songs that you just heard called It's All Right. And her name is Javita Steele, my sister. So you know how excited I am to talk to you, Jeremy. How are you?
Yeah, our ticket to stardom.
Cool. Yeah. She'll never believe that, Jeremy. Thanks so much,
great.
Man. Okay, so you guys are coming back here, and you know we love it when you're here in town. And your fans know what to expect. They know all the genres that you do. If you go to your Wikipedia page, it says that you guys do rock, blues rock, alternative rock, funk rock, southern rock, country rock, folk, jazz fusion, and jam band. How do you describe yourselves?
I think we do indecision, not best. we have a good time. I think that the band, when they first started out, was kind of, a blues bar band, and then just kind of evolved. And, to keep it interesting for everybody, you have to just kind of explore different things. And since the band had 34 years to explore, you gotta reach your fingers out,
You do. But how do you decide what type of music or what songs you're going to do? You have so many. You've got great hits. You've got great songs that are beloved by your fans. How do you decide what to do?
Well, I think that, you know, in our show right now, you know, we have a few songs that the fans kind of count on us to play. And then, you know, they also want to be surprised and entertained as well. So I think that we all just work together and explore together. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, you've done a whole lot with your careers. Is there anything that you think back on and say, I wish we had done this? What would be?
I don't think so. I think that you can't really think like that. Otherwise, you're just going to dig yourself a hole. So I think that there's plenty of time to keep exploring.
Yeah.
We'll keep on trucking.
You know, speaking of time, you guys spent a lot of time in the studio over these 35 years. And you've also been on the road quite a bit. What do you love the most? Is it the recording and the writing together and just being together in the studio, creating the magic, or is it creating the magic on the stage on tour?
Well, you know, each thing kind of provides relief for the other thing. So being on the road is completely different than being in the studio, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that if right when you get tired and you get a little bit worn out from travel, you can go home and relax a little bit and, you know, take a little bit longer to think about what you're doing and go in the studio and have a little bit more relaxed atmosphere. And so I think each one of those things plays off the other.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at your first album, I think it was 1989, Another Mayberry. Is that correct?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then today, I think your last album was in 2017. Boy, how much has the band changed between there? You know, you have certain bands that do just plethora of CDs that are offered, and you can see that their music changes and ebbs and flows as the decades passed. But in these years for you, 35 years, would you say that you stayed true to your sound?
Oh, I think so. I think the best addition to the band, I think, was keyboards, you know, right in the early 2000s. I think that was the best decision they ever made. But, you know, I think that you shouldn't expect to stay true to yourself because, you know, people change. And so you're always true to yourself if you just have a real honest conversation in your music.
Yeah.
And do the best you can. So.
Well, you're so different, each of us, when you have 35 years pass, then you know that you're different. You're not the same person that walked into that studio, walked into that band, or organized together in 1989. So, 84. So here you go. Now, today you've changed your relationships, your experiences. Everything has changed. How are you better for it? I know it's changed your life in many ways, but where you are today is so different from where you were then. How has it changed you?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, contact with people is one of the things that kind of changes me the most because you get to see such a wide variety of people when you're traveling. And that really gives you, you know, that wealth of experience kind of helps you understand more about yourself and more about your life at home. So,
yeah,
that's how
isn't
it looks
that the
for
truth?
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really difficult to sometimes decide what direction are you going to go in. And, of course, the direction of the music business has changed so drastically over the 35 years we've all been in business, right? If you're lucky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the way you do music, the way you sell it, the way you do tours, all of that seems to have, has it come full circle or has it just changed drastically for you?
You know, in a way it has. I think that, you know, in the early 90s, especially with like grassroots kind of college bands like Big Head Todd was, that was kind of like a great time to be in a college band, like the late 80s and the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, business has come full circle because, you know, some people like to say how the middle class has been kind of sucked out of the music business. There's huge musical acts and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. And so I think we're really lucky to, you know, claw and fight our way right to the middle. And in a way, you know, it's a boutique small business again, where you meet each fan and look them in the eye and learn their name and, you know, have way more personal conversations than you would if you were a big record label band, you know? So yeah. It has come full circle in a way.
It has come full circle in a way. And I don't know about you, but that seems a little uncomfortable. You know, you kind of look back at that and go, now, how did we get here? We were making great music and we were being paid well for it. And now we've come around to this point where maybe people are not making as much music. You know, musicians are trying their best to figure out how do we continue to make a living at this?
Well, there's more music than ever, really, when you
True.
Think about it.
True.
And there's more great music than ever. It's just harder to find. And so I think, you know, curating yourself and finding out who your fans are and doing the kinds of things that they like and like I said, meeting them and looking them in the eye and learning a name, you know, that's kind of a new way to curate your boutique business, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, Jeremy, you guys, I believe you went to Columbine, didn't you?
I didn't. The other three guys in the band did.
The other three guys in the band did. And I'm just wondering if that has been something that Big Head Todd and the Monsters have taken up. You know, maybe it's a charity thing. Maybe it's a time for you to go into the schools and talk to the young people. Have you guys been doing that on some of your stops?
You know, I know the other guys in the band do mention that quite a bit. It is a question that comes up a lot. And, you know, the Columbine thing was about 15 years after those guys all graduated
right.
from high school.
Right.
But they do talk about it a lot, and they do revisit the school occasionally and go see what's going on and talk to people. And, you know, I've met a few, through the other guys in the band, I've met a few of the school administrators, like Mr. DeAngelis, who was the principal of Columbine High School when the shooting happened. And it was really compelling to me to see his face, hear him talk about that thing and how impactful it was and as you know, how big of a deal it still is.
Right.
It's a problem that none of us have figured out yet.
So have you written a song specifically to talk about gun violence or what happened at Columbine or how it affected all of you, especially those that went?
I don't think so. And you know, who's to say when there is an appropriate time or not to do that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, it's never too late, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, we are very excited that you guys are coming back to town and that you're going to give us a chance to see you, a chance to hear you and do what we love that you do. Big Head Todd and the Monsters, I'm so grateful that you had a chance to join us tonight, took the time to do that. Will you tell everyone that Jovita says hello? Were you working with them when Jovita had a chance to sing background on that tune?
No, I started in 2003, so I'm the new guy in the band. I've been doing it for 16 years.
Oh, you sound like you fit right in. Jeremy,
yeah.
Thank you so much. You take care of you.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. That is Jeremy Lawton, and you definitely want to check them out. They are coming to the Palace Theater on Friday night, the 22nd. I'm going to check and see if there are any tickets left. You know, it's amazing when people like Big Head Todd and the Monsters, because we have a pretty big following here for that particular band. I need to check and see if there are any tickets left because they go pretty quickly. So we're going to take a break to kind of look up some things, and then we'll come back with some ideas on some shows that are in town that you may want to see this week. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:45 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And man, do we have some great things that are happening here in the Twin Cities and beyond. I want to talk about A Bronx Tale is Tuesday through Sunday at the Orpheum. The Skin of Our Teeth is through March 3rd at Park Square Theater. Stewardess is through March 3rd at the History Theater. You heard me talk about Potted Potter tonight. That's Tuesday through March 3rd at the Pantages. Also, Holiday Inn, final week at the Chan Hassan. Run, get there. Also, The Biggest Little House through March 10th at the Children's Theater. Mr. Popper's Penguins is also at the Children's Theater through Sunday. Falsettos, you heard Rohan and I talking about that. That is Tuesday through Sunday at the Ordway, only this week. Flowers for the Room, March 3rd at the Yellow Tree Theater. Sense and Sensibility, one of my favorites, through March 3rd at Lyric Arts Theater. And Antigone continues through March 3rd at the Park Square Theater, where all women play all the parts. Some concerts that are coming up. Well, we're about to talk to one of the ones that is about to do a big concert coming up, and you don't want to miss it. But let's talk about some of the others that are coming to town. Two Cellos is Wednesday at Target Center. Elton John. Remember I told you the story? I had a chance to see Elton John. He is the godfather of Rufus Wainwright, and in concert at UCLA in 2004. Out comes Elton John during that concert, and man, was that exciting. Elton John is here Thursday and Friday at the Target Center. Also, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, let me remind you again, Friday at the Palace Theater, and Momentary Lapse of Floyd. What a name. Friday at the Parkway Theater. Ah, that's funny. Young the Giant Sunday at the Palace Theater, and Buddy Guy is Sunday at Mystic Lake. Well, it is time for our final conversation in this hour. Bruce Henry is someone that I've known for many, many years. We haven't had many chances to perform together, but boy, have I been in an audience a few times to see him work his magic. Celebrating Black History Month tomorrow night at the Dakota, Bruce Henry will feature a great band. He is called a Minnesota vocal legend, Bruce Henry. And if you haven't heard him, you need to hear him. Let's join him now to find out what the show is all about. Hey, Bruce.
Hello, hello. Hi, Geraldine.
Hey, now. How you be?
I'm fantastic.
You know, I think of the Dakota as your house in the sense that you are always there. You come here a lot to, because you're still living in Chicago?
I do. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
And so you go back and forth so much. And every time I see you, I always see you at the Dakota. Would you say that that's probably your mainstay?
It is my mainstay, and I love performing there. And, you know, I probably mostly perform at Crooner's Orchestra Hall in the Dakota.
Yep, exactly. Orchestra Hall, man. I had a chance to see you with Chuck Lazarus, the incredible trumpeter, in his holiday show, along with Tanya Hughes. You guys, wow. I can only imagine what the rehearsals and how much fun it is, because the Steels have had a chance to work with him. He's a blast. And to
he
see you guys up there knocking it out of the park. Wow. So you're right. You're either working with the orchestra, working with Chuck Lazarus, working with the Dakota or Crooners, and so much more. So here you are coming back for a Black History Month on tomorrow night at the Dakota. What can we expect?
Well, what we can expect is, I don't know if a lot of people know that over the years I've always been about African-American history. So along with my career as a vocalist, primarily jazz vocalist, I've always fashioned myself to be an American griot. So telling stories and singing songs of our ancestors and our experience here, musical experience here over the last 400 years. So this is kind of a culmination of that.
Yeah.
Every year I probably talk to or sing in front of thousands of people, sharing my love of music and history. So we're going to bring that. The unique thing is bringing it into a nightclub, a world-class jazz club.
Right. So that's some people think of Black History Month or when you're celebrating Black History Month, or you want to tell the story of the diaspora or the mm-hmm. slavery, or you want to incorporate it all to today. That's not an easy thing to do. And when you sit down to look at, well, do I do ring shots? Do I do spirituals? How do you decide on what defines Black History Month in with your performance?
Well, you know, I have been trying to put it into words what motivates me in terms of, you know, there's the history of African-American music. So you could do a timeline of, you know, this style, turn to that style, turn to that style. But I look at it, and I look at it as, you know, this is there's the history of the music, and then there's the music of our history. So I look presented from like, okay, this is what inspired maybe, you know, the abolitionist movement. This is the music that was inspired by the Black migration. This
yeah.
came as a result. It's what made the music. And so when I choose my program, I can't do every style, but I pick important eras in our history and find the music that goes with that.
You know, that's brilliant, because to find the music that matches what it is that you want to do. But coming up with the ideas, of course, the first and most important step. And just hearing you talk about it, I know how magnificent this piece is going to be on tomorrow night. Now, Bruce, you have been on 5 of the 7 continents. You've traveled the world. And how has traveling the world, meeting other people, singing various genres, really, because you can sing the phone book, right? How has that inspired you and affected you over the years?
Well, and my set list is definitely pretty eclectic. So it's very eclectic. I just have big ears and I love listening. So to the continent. I pick up songs and chants. I had the pleasure of going to Cuba with Nachito Herrera and Aurora Herrera, and just I got to meet some of the people in the Yoruba religion there. So learning chants from that area, going to France, just, you know, you just listen and you just jamming with great musicians who inspire you. So that's what I've gotten from my experience, is just increasing my ears, expanding my ears to possibilities.
Now, one thing you do is to make sure that you give back by doing residencies and concert workshops. And I've never heard you play the piano. Can I just tell you that?
I don't play well.
Do you ever play in your concerts?
And I had to hate to bust it out on all these watts. But
right. So do you ever play for the workshops for the children?
I do.
Okay, but you won't do it on stage at your concerts.
I know too many great piano players to do that. And it's kind of funny. I look back. You know how some parts of your life you go, did that really happen? And I actually used to play on stage. And then I became aware. So now I accompany I teach vocal students. I have voice students. I accompany them. And, you know, one day somebody didn't show up at church. I jumped up there and played a couple hymnals.
Yeah.
But I know too many good people to do that at a concert.
Yeah, but at the same time, see, this is how we let things get in our way a little bit. You know, I used to play a pretty good flute, right? And I used to say all the time, Charlie, you're a flautist. You should get on that flute and you should just, and I'm the same way. You start to hear other musicians, particularly those in your family and around you all the time. You're going to go, no, don't even think about it, right? But at the same time, there's something really special about being able to hold your own, even if your own is not good compared to others. I would love to hear you play in one of your concerts. And so if you can promise me that for tomorrow night, you know.
Well, I don't know about tomorrow night. I might have to work up on my courage. But, you know,
you want some liquid courage? Come on.
I heard you, and I agree with you, though. Yeah. I agree with you, though. And that is something that I have recorded, you know, some of my music, and like, oh, wow. You know, I actually did that. And so going forward, that is something I would definitely like to do. And I actually am practicing a set of music to do that on ukulele.
My gosh, the happiest instrument in the world. I really think of a ukulele like that. I think it's just
it
so beautiful.
Happy.
So are you enjoying that? What is it, about three or four notes on that? And you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong, and it's so portable.
Yeah, yeah, it's easy to take it.
You can take it anywhere. Entertain your family at the kitchen table, at the beach, anywhere.
Yeah, and of course, when you're traveling around the world, pull it out and just start performing for people. And do you enjoy that sort of thing, by the way? Wherever you are, just to stop and start singing or playing for someone?
You know, I'm actually kind of introverted.
I know that about you.
You wouldn't know that. I'm not introverted on stage at all.
Right.
At all. But when I'm, you know, when I'm off stage, I'm not Bruce Henry.
Wow. So you created another persona without a name.
Yeah, I never want to sit in. I never want to go out and sit in and sing. I really enjoy being in the audience. You know, I remember like a long time ago when Prince used to come out and see me perform, like way before he was famous. And I always respected that about him. He used to come out and just listen to the music. He didn't draw attention to himself. He was just listening and learning and taking it all in. And very introverted, but you can tell, you know, he obviously had big ears. And so when I go out, you know, my family life, my personal life is very important to me. And when I go out, it's kind of rare, and I just want to honor the person that's there.
Yeah.
And I want to absorb and be ministered to by their music. And so I don't really want to interject myself into it. So, no, answer your question. I don't usually want to jump up in the light like that.
So final question for you. Do you have children?
Oh, yeah.
I thought so. How many do you have?
I have three beautiful children and two lovely grandchildren in Chicago.
Okay. Do any of them sing?
My son, well, they all sing, but my son, Jai Henry is a rock and roll musician, awesome musicians and one of the best storytellers I know.
Wow. Have you done a show with him?
We've only done a couple songs together, and that's something we need to do. It's on the list as well.
Wow. Congratulations to you, Bruce. You are still doing it. You've been doing it a long time. And I know as the business changes, we have to change with it. And you are adept at that. You know exactly how to do it. And I say congratulations to you. So this is happening tomorrow. You're going to get a chance to hear all types of music to celebrate Black History Month. And I know, being a griot, the stories that you will have to tell in the midst of all of that amazing music will be wonderful as well. Congratulations to you, dear.
Always. And thank you for the shout out. And I'm a fan, you know, of you. So thank
please.
You.
And by the way, tickets still available for tomorrow?
I believe there are some. And we have a good crowd, I heard. But I think there are a few left.
All right. So go to DakotaCooks.com and get your tickets now. Thanks so much for joining us, Bruce.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care of you. That is Bruce Henry. I've known him a long time, and he's right. He's quite elusive at times. There's so much I don't know about him, but I do know that that man can sing. I didn't say sing. I said sang. All right, do I have a minute left, Shaletta? I think I have 1 minute left, right? All right, we want to let you know just about a few other things, because here's the deal. When it comes to the way you treat us as artists, every one of you listening, all of the fans of all of the musicians and artists that we have here in the great Twin Cities metro area, as well as the state of Minnesota, we have to take the time to tell you thank you, because there are so many states, so many cities that don't support their artists like we do here in this great state of Minnesota. And I'm blessed to get a chance to talk to some of the theater people, some of the cast members, and so many of the singers that come into town and hear them say things like, wow, Minnesota is awesome. So thank you. And we look forward to performing for you over and over and over again. It's been a pleasure to talk about music, talk about the arts, along with my friends. Coming up next is the Mom and Michael Hour right here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.